It is great to be in the house of the Lord this morning. And I think we can all learn from Tony. She's going to be angry with me. Tony has cerebral palsy, and she cycled here this morning. Can we give her a hand? So maybe more of us can cycle here on Sunday mornings. It'll be good for us. Who of you have been to Convergence? Can I just see? Great, most of us. I just want to use this opportunity to thank God for the time that we could have together at Convergence. Did you enjoy it? Yes. It really was a precious time in the presence of God, and always amazing just to hear the word that God is bringing through people that are not a part of us, a part of the body of Christ, but not a part of Shofar, and just receiving from them. After every year after the conference, we have a pastor summit, and all the pastors get together, and we spend the week praying together, planning together, and laughing together. So we had a social on Wednesday evening, and Karen got us into a Greek restaurant. You should have been there. And when we went in there, I just said, God, whatever Greek gods and whatever things are not of you, we bind it because we are going to have fun this evening. So we started out, with just eating together. And then they got us all to stand. And then we did the Zorba. You should see a bunch of pastors doing the Zorba. They're not generally gifted with rhythm. So it was quite interesting. And then towards the end of the evening, they said, now we are going to break the plates. it was funny, when it was the Zorba, most were sort of hiding in their chairs, and some suddenly had to go to the loo, and some suddenly needed some fresh air. But when they said, now we are going to break the plates, everybody was jumping up with their plate. And then the man looked at us, and with his Greek accent, he said, "We in Greece, we never break plates out of frustration. We only break it to celebrate." So he just had to make sure. And then we were all standing there in a circle, and we went, "Whoppa!" And we broke our plates. And it really was just an amazing experience to break a plate. to do those things that we are never allowed to do. So I want to encourage you, if you need a bit of distraction in your life, you are allowed to visit a Greek restaurant. Okay. Let's get serious. the title of the message this morning is Become a Gift. And I would like to read from Philippians 4, verse 18. And if you were privileged to be at the conference, then you would have heard a sermon that Baylis Conley brought just on Paul, and just how the miracle in Macedonia was the name of the sermon. And he also referred to this piece of scripture, if I remember correctly. I want to encourage you to buy the conference pack and just listen to that sermon. But I would like to read from Philippians 4, verse 18. But I have all and abound. This is Paul speaking, and Paul is in prison. And he sends a letter to the Philippians, and he says, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. So this is Paul, and he is in prison. And the church of Philippi was supporting Paul's ministry from the very beginning. They were financially supporting him. And now he's in prison, and he receives a gift from him. And we don't know exactly what that gift was. But this just reminded me when I was, after I finished my matric, I went to Germany for about a year and a half. And we were about three 18-year-old girls in the same neighborhood, and we all did au pair work. And then every now and again, one of our mothers would send a parcel. And in that parcel, there would typically be biltong and rusks and chutney. Okay, but especially the biltong and the rusks and the rooibos tea. But I just remember whenever the biltong and the rusks came, nothing could be better. There was nothing that could beat sitting in Germany and eating that piece of biltong and just being so extremely blessed by it. And I can just imagine Paul sitting in prison and receiving a parcel. And I would love to know what was in that parcel. Maybe, who knows, some fresh clothes, maybe some olives, maybe some honey. We don't know, but Paul received something, and he says to the church, and in the scripture just before that, he says to them, it is to your account, the credit of you supporting me is to your account. In other words, you will receive the reward. But he says to them, this gift that you sent me is like a beautiful thing to God. God loves it, and it brings glory to his name. And if you think about it, it's just a gift. But what is Paul referring to? He's not referring necessarily to the parcel. He's referring to the church of Philippi. The church is his gift. They are the gift. And whatever they bless him with, just like my mother is my incredible gift. And when I sit in Germany, I'm 18 years old and I'm homesick, she will send me biltong and she will send me biscuit. And it will just be an extension of the gift that my mother is. And whatever comes from the church of Philippi is so pleasing unto God, because they are Paul's gift. And they make whatever Paul is doing possible. And what I want to speak about this morning is to become that gift. God has called us to become a gift. We are a gift to the world. And what do we know about a gift? Do we pay for a gift? When we pay for a gift, it's not a gift anymore. That is why if they charge you extra for something and they give something for free and they call it a gift, they are lying. Because you are paying for it. Just don't be so ignorant. But if somebody comes to me and they say, Christelle, I want to bless you with this or that, and I insist on paying for it, I will hurt them. I will reject that gift. And in the same way, when we become a gift, we do not expect anything in return. We just give. That is exactly what Jesus did. We are called to be a gift and expect nothing in return. That is our calling. We are called to live a life that will be an outflow, that will be a sacrificial life, to bring other people to the Lord, to bring other people to healing, to bring other people to restoration. That is what we are called to do. And that is what I want to speak about this morning. And I want to read from Matthew 10, verse 39. Now, when we look at Matthew 10, Jesus is sending out the 12 disciples, and he's teaching them, before he sends them out, he's teaching them many things about following him and how to operate and what to do and what not to do. And then Jesus says to them, I did not come to bring peace, I came to bring a sword. And then he says to them, after that, he says to them, if you do not hate your mother or your father or your brother compared to me, then you are not worthy of following me. So Jesus is speaking about just it is so radical to follow him. And yes, we love our families and we should love them. We were created to love them. But if they stand between us and Jesus and what Jesus is expecting us to do, then that sword will come in. And then there will be a kind of separation. And we must be willing to do that. But then he's just speaking about many things, and then he says to them, you will take up your cross and you will follow me. Speaking about sacrifice, the cross speaks about sacrifice, not expecting anything in return. And then Matthew 10 verse 39, Jesus says something that is a key. And the theme for our year is that God will give us keys. And he says to them, whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. You know, when we become born again, we don't have to pay for it. Jesus did not want any payment for what he did for us on the cross. But it will cost us everything. It will cost us everything. Marionette and I had a discussion the other day, and we were both sort of a little bit tired and a little bit weary. And I said to her, Marionette, isn't it hard to follow God? Don't you sometimes just wish you could go and sit on an island and just sip something and lie in the sun and just get away from it all? And she said to me, yes, it is very hard, and it costs us everything. And when we follow God, Jesus says, if you want to find your life, what does he mean by that? He means that when we came to this earth, when we were born into this earth, there's a whole lifetime ahead of us, and we have two choices. You can find your own life, or you can surrender it, give it up, give it away, and really find the life that you were purposed for. And I'm sad to say that I see many, many people in the body of Christ who are not losing their lives in order to find it. They have not found because they're not willing to give up. And what Jesus is saying here, he says, if you want to find the life that you were really born to live, because the word says there was a set of good works. Even before we were born, there's a set of good works. And if you want to find that, you must give it all up. Just like that seed that has to die, that is just the way it works. And here's the thing. We will never be effective for Christ as long as we are trying to find our own lives. Maybe we think we are. Maybe we do a little bit good here and a little bit of good there. But ultimately, we will never be effective because God called us to serve. And when we do give it up, when we do give it up, and that's what I want to speak about this morning, about that giving up and that constant giving up, that constant sacrifice. When we do, it is like our eyes open and we see. You know, people often ask the question, how do I find my destiny? How do I find what I was born to do? How do I know what I was called for? Have any of you been asking that question? And we are all looking for that one thing that I was called to do. There's a key. There's a key to find out what you and I were born to do. Here's the key. Wake up in the morning and start serving people. Serve the people in your workplace. Serve your family. Serve them with prayer. Serve them with your time. Serve them with your gifts and abilities. Serve them with your love. Give them whatever they need, when they need it, if it is in your ability. Serve them. Give yourself. Do what nobody wants to do. Become the least. And I can guarantee you, you will find what you were called to do. You will find it. Because we find it in that place. We find it when we place ourselves in the middle of the need. And it is not easy. We get so stuck on, where does God want me to live? Should I go there or should I stay? Should I take this job or not? How is my eternal destiny going to be influenced if I take this new job? How many children should I have? This is a good one. I see this often. How many children? I think two. We will have two, or we will have four, or we will have six, or whatever. Who should I marry? And we think about these things, and we think, if I do this, my eternal destiny will be influenced, my calling. And we have so many ideas, and it doesn't work like that. It is not like that. Yes, we see God in every decision, but you will get and I will get where we are supposed to be by humbly giving ourselves every day where we are at, doing what we can do right here and right now, and seeking how we can be a blessing to other people. And doors will open and knowledge will come, and we will know what we are supposed to do. And it is all about our hearts. God will bring us to the place where we are supposed to be, not because we live in Nelspruit or in Stellenbosch or in China, but because our hearts are right. But because of the attitude of our hearts, because we have a place in our heart that is so desperate just to be a blessing, just to serve, just to be the least. It is in that place where God can enlarge us and enlarge our ability. I want to read to you from Psalms 119, verse 32. I will run the way of your commandments when you shall enlarge my heart. What does it speak of when the heart is enlarged? It speaks about the capacity to be a blessing unto others. That is why we live. That is what God wants to do. Let me read another scripture, and this is a prophecy over Jerusalem's restoration during the reign of King Darius. But this is also a spiritual picture of our hearts. Make the place of your tent larger, and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. I experience almost every day of my life, and the older I get, I almost want to say the worse it becomes, where God says, I want to enlarge your territory. I want to enlarge your capacity. I want you to become more and bigger and better in servanthood than you were yesterday. I will stretch you. I will stretch you. That is why we heard those sermons at Convergence about hard times. Cornei Becker had an opening sermon where he explained it is only in the prison for Joseph, or in the lion's den for Daniel, or in the king's courts for Esther, or wherever. It is only in that place of hard times when we receive the keys. Why? Because when we are suffering, we are forced to learn patience. We are forced to learn long-suffering. We are forced to learn how to find joy just to be able to stay alive. We are forced. We have no choice. And in that place, our capacity is enlarged. That is why Paul went from place to place to place, extending the kingdom of God. And he was severely suffering. But in every place of suffering, it's almost like we receive a key, and another key that opens another door, and another door, and another door. And it is enlarging our territory. It is enlarging our influence and our authority. And in that place, we become everything that God has called us to become. In that place of just every single day crying out, God, without you, I cannot do this. I cannot do my life without you. It is too challenging. And I want to say this morning, if you are in a place where you experience every single morning, I need God today, otherwise I'm not going to make it, it is probably a good place. it is probably a good place. It is never nice to be enlarged. It is never, it never, the flesh will never enjoy it. If we could just stay in one place and have things easy and have things comfortable, we would never change. And God says, I want to give you an ability, and we grow in it. I have 5 children, and we were at Convergence, and Eva, one of the precious ladies in our church, said to me she's going to take my children throughout the whole weekend. So she took them, and she took them to the kids' conference, and during the breaks, and in the morning she came and she fed them, and I left early, and she did everything. She's not married, she doesn't have children, she's still studying. And after this whole weekend, I said to her, "How are you? Are you okay? Are you tired?" She said, "I am exhausted." And she said, "We are 4 children. I'm going to phone my mom right now and just thank her for raising us successfully and for making it and for still being alive and well." She said, "And there's something else that I have learned. That is why God gives you 1 at a time, or sometimes 2, and few people get 3 at a time. But she says, that is why God gives you a child 1 at a time, so that you can grow into it. By the time you have 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or 7, you have learned how to do it. But give you 5 at once, man, it's like a tsunami is hitting you." In the same way, God says, I want you to be committed to the process of enlarging your capacity. I will not put it on you. I will not send you to China right now when you haven't learned just to pack the chairs on a Sunday morning. I wouldn't do that. But you must be committed to the process. And how do you commit yourself to the process? You choose. Let me read another scripture. Romans 12, verse 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. You know, I was thinking about our bodies. Our bodies, in the light of eternity, is really actually fairly insignificant. Whether you are tall or short, or thin or not so thin, or whether your nose is big or small, really, in the light of eternity, it means nothing. So if you have issues with those things, try to walk away from those issues. But here's the thing: everything that we are manifests through our bodies. Our ears, our eyes, our noses, our mouths, our arms. Our bodies is what we are trapped in while we are here on this earth. And Paul says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, which smells good. It's like the sacrifice that they brought in the temple in the Old Testament. And there was incense, and it smelled good. It was good. It was a beautiful smell. And God says, I want to look on you and your life, and what you do with your body should be like that smell. That is why we need to choose. It starts with our minds. You know, if you are a mother, I know I always speak to the mothers, but I'm a woman and I'm a mother, and the men must just bear with us. If you are a mother, you never have a choice. You wake up in the morning, and most mornings you really still want to sleep because they kept you up at night, the children. but you have no choice. You get up. You make them tea, you make them breakfast, you get them ready for the day. You do whatever is necessary for your children. You sacrifice. When you are tired, there's nothing that you can do about it. You have to push through. You have to force your body to do what your body does not want to do. Why? Because of the love that you have for those children. You know, your children can tell you, "Mommy, I'm hungry." And you go, "Yes, just, I know you are hungry, just wait a while. But eventually something says to you, this child was born from your body, and there's something that just compels you to feed that child and to dress that child and to make sure that it goes well with that child, even when you don't feel like it, and you often don't feel like it because of all the demands there are. And whatever the situation may be, we often don't feel like it. But here is the real discipline. I think it's very easy to get spiritual. But we must understand there are many disciplines. Many, many disciplines. It's a discipline to read the Word of God. It's a discipline to pray. It's a discipline to come to church. And here's the biggest discipline, our minds and our choices. Because nobody will know what you are thinking. It is a discipline. And many, many times we are challenged to do things that we, with our bodies, that we don't feel like doing. And God says, I want your body as a living sacrifice. I want you to make that meal for that family. I want you to visit that man in hospital and pray for him. I want you to get up and bring the word, even though your knees are trembling and you are so insecure about your body. I want you to come to the front and bring that word that I want to share with my church. Whatever it may be, you know, so many, many times we've had altar calls in church. And the Spirit of God is really, really present. And women come to the front, and they are just, God is just ministering to them. And all I have to do is put my arms around them. They just need to cry. They just need to cry it out. They just need somebody to love them. And it is so precious, because I don't even know them. I don't even know their names. But I have the privilege to be the arms of Jesus around them. I don't even pray. I pray in tongues, or I don't pray. Or I pray a prayer if God gives me a prayer. It doesn't really matter. It is between them and the Holy Spirit. But God is not standing here in a physical form. Which arms will he use? Mine, because I am here. And I will be the arms of Jesus. And he will do it through me. And he will love that person through me. And it is not so difficult. And my question to myself at the end of every week is, how did I use my body this week? And how sacrificial was it? The Word of God says obedience is better than sacrifice. And obedience is, because obedience, like Nordine always says, is God's love language. But that doesn't mean that we don't sacrifice. We live a life of sacrifice. I once read about the missionaries from, I'm not sure specifically which country this was, but it was somewhere in the Far East. And they said that when the people get married, all of them, the Christians, the born-again Christians who are being persecuted, when they get married, for their honeymoon, they go on mission trips. That's what they do. That is what that married couple, that is the first thing that they do. After that wedding, they leave on a mission trip to bring the gospel to the broken. Isn't that amazing? You know, in our Western mindset, we think, over my dead body. Let's just be honest. None of us want to go on a mission trip on a honeymoon. But there's a reward for that. And we choose. We can go to heaven, but it starts with our minds where we make the choices. And here's the amazing thing. Whenever we choose to do the thing that expects from us to enlarge our capacity, God comes in. Have you noticed it? I've got so many little examples of that. This past week, we had guests at our house throughout Convergence, which was quite challenging because we had a lot of responsibility. And then after that, we had some new guests who was there for the pastor's summit. And they had nowhere else to stay. They had to stay at our house. And I said, God, you are stretching my capacity again. I don't feel extremely excited to have these people here. I don't have somebody who helps me in the house this week. I must change the beds, I must make food, I must do this, and I'm tired, and I have the children, and it's school holiday, the children never leave, they are here all the time, and so many challenges. And God said to me, be a blessing, serve. Serve them breakfast. Get up early and just serve them. They came all the way from Tanzania. They are pastors. Love them, serve them. And I said, okay, God, I'm going to do that. And just after I made that decision, there's my phone's me. Can I bring food for the people? Can I cook for all your guests? You know, God always works like this. It's almost like you do something for me, I do something for you. It's not like that, but it is also like that. Where God just says, I just want you to be willing. I just want you to be willing. And you will, you know, God is so faithful. I find with every sacrifice that I make in my life, especially when I don't feel like it and I don't want to do it and my body is rebelling against it, and I say, yes, I will do it. I will do it. Then God comes and He provides. Whenever God expands, He provides. Can I say that again? Whenever God expands, He provides. He will provide money. He will provide people. He will provide energy. Energy. When you need energy, He will provide for you to cope with less sleep. We don't live on the same standards than the world. We live on a higher standard where we flow in the supernatural, where we live in the supernatural, where we do the impossible. But we will never do the impossible if we don't start by allowing God to stretch us, to stretch our capacity, and it will never happen if we don't sacrifice. And how do we do it? We listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. He tells us. He's so faithful to speak to us. He says, do this, do that, don't do this, do this. Bless that, serve that person. I'm always so blessed by the fact that God has no favorites. But you can become His favorite. Like many other people can become His favorite just by becoming the least. Just by becoming the least. I want to read from 2 Peter 3 verse 18. But grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Peter says, grow in grace. What does that mean? I think it can mean many things. But I am convinced that one of the things that it means is our capacity is entirely, entirely dependent on our understanding of grace. I have just seen people, you know, I love knowing people and doing this life journey with older people or people who's been serving Christ for a longer time than me. We had some old songs this morning. Did you notice? One of the songs that we sang this morning, Trish, you remember we sang that song from the very first Chofa years. We enthroned you. Do you remember that? We sang that song in 1995 when I joined Chofa. We sang that song. It's so precious. Thank you for the band. That was just, I'm just interrupting myself here. You know, I love walking with people who are able to operate in God's grace. I look at them, mature people, people who's been sacrificing enough in their life to understand that you can operate on a level that is just supernatural. And I look at some people around me and I'm just amazed at their capacity to give, their capacity to listen, their capacity to serve, their capacity, their constant capacity. And when they need to rest, God provides for them. God provides for them. That's just the way it works. I often think about Mother Teresa. You know, she had an incredible capacity for the poor. She had an incredible capacity for humility. She had an astounding capacity to serve because she understood grace. She grew in grace. There's grace for every single thing that God calls us to do. Can I say that again? There's grace for every single thing that God calls us to do. But the things that God calls us to do cannot be done by us. It is too big. But God says, I have so much planned. I have a capacity for you that you will not believe right now. The word says, no eye has seen, no ears heard, no mouth has confessed. But what God has prepared for us. But by His Spirit, He will reveal it to us. You know, I look at my life sometimes and I say, God, where are we going? Where am I going? What am I? And I just sense God says, just today, just become everything. Just become everything that you can to be that gift, to be that blessing, to be that sweet-smelling sacrifice. It says in the Word, when Jesus hung on the cross, it was like that incense in the nostrils of God. It was a sweet, heartbreaking as it was. It was a sweet-smelling sacrifice. And some of us this morning are very challenged. You know, some of us have more of a capacity for people than others. But I want to say again, God knows, and God walks with us, and the tsunami won't come. We will grow in it as long as we are committed to that process. Can we quickly stand? Father, this morning we come to you as a church. Father, it is our privilege to be here. Father, it is our privilege to be a part of your body. It is our privilege, Father, to know you and to be able to work with you, Father. Father, it is nothing else but a privilege, Lord, that the God of the universe will choose to use us. Father, and this morning we stand in awe just of who you are and what you want to do on this earth using us, Lord. And Father, we want to thank you that you want to give us the keys that will unlock the hearts of people. Just by loving them, just by serving them, just by sacrificing, taking up our cross. Father, we thank you for the deep satisfaction that comes from looking away from ourselves and looking towards others. I just want to ask, if that is you this morning, if you recognize this morning that you have a desire to become that gift that God has called you to become, but maybe there are things standing in your way. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's insecurity. Maybe it's pride. Maybe it's a desire to be known and to be seen and to be appreciated. Whatever the reason may be, God wants to heal our hearts. The Spirit of God wants to heal our pride, our desire to be famous, to be recognized, to be lifted up. He wants to heal our hearts from fear, from insecurity, and from the lies that we are not able to make a difference. He wants to heal our hearts. So I want to ask this morning if you recognize that you need some healing in your heart to be able to become that gift, to be able to look away from the mirror and who and what you are, and just to look towards other people, just to become that servant. Won't you raise your hand? I'm just going to do a prayer over us. Won't you just raise your hand? Just raise your hand quickly. Thank you. You can lower your hands. Father God, the fact that I see these hands doesn't make much of a difference, but the fact that you see those hands, Father, makes all the difference. Father, thank you that you look this morning and you see the hearts. Father, I want to pray over every person who raised their hand right now. Father, we want to pray in the name of Jesus that you will heal us. That you will heal us in the deepest places of our hearts. So that we can look away from ourselves and who we are and who we are not and what we have and what we have not and where we were and where we are going. Just look away. And just become humble servants. God, that is what you have called us to do. That is what you have called us to become. Just like you, Jesus, when there was nobody to wash the feet, you did it. And then you went to that cross and you gave it all. And all you expect from us is to receive that gift. And we want to receive that gift this morning. We want to receive that gift. I want to ask, and I want to ask that we respect just the next 10 minutes of the Holy Spirit in our midst before we scatter again. And I want to ask if there is anybody here with sickness in their body, won't you come to the front? We want to lay hands and pray over you. This is what we want to do in church. We want to serve each other. If there is anybody with pain in their bodies, whatever it may be, just take some courage and come. We want to pray over you. We believe that God is the healer. And I want to encourage you, if you've been prayed for many times and you still feel sick and you still have pain, don't give up. God is a good God. And more than that, He knows exactly what He's doing. We can trust Him. We can trust Him. Just come to the front quickly. I want to ask if the ministry facilitators can please come to the front and just lay hands on these people as we pray over them. Small group leaders.
Morning church. I was upstairs in the mother's room and I just got this serious pain in my back tooth on the left hand side, and I came down just to ask, is anybody suffering with bad tooth, like, to please come to the front, because I really think God wants to just heal you or do something for you.
Are there people like that? Can you please come to the front? Okay, I want to ask if our small group leaders can please come to the front and lay hands on these people. Our older, trusted people, you know who you are. Can you come to the front and lay hands? You can put your hands on two people. The Word of God says we must lay hands on each other when we are sick. Before we go to the doctor, we come to church. Amen. I want to ask that the rest of us will just agree with this prayer. Father, we come to you this morning. God, the world says that you are not real. The world says that you don't care. If you are real, then you don't care for us. Father, the world says that the cross meant nothing. It's just history. Father, the world says many things, God, but we are here this morning because we know you. We are here because we have testimonies. We are here because we experience you. And Father, we are here because your word says that the blood of Jesus is still the only claim worthy. And Father, this morning we want to say thank you for the blood of Jesus that flowed for our healing, for our salvation, for our freedom. Father, we want to bring every person that is standing here before you, Father. Father, we want to bring their physical pain, Father, whether it is toothache or backs or heads or wombs or feet or legs or arms or hands. Father, you care about every intimate detail of every person that is standing here. That is why, God, you knew them when they were still in their mother's womb. And Father, we bring these sicknesses and diseases and pain, we bring it to you right now in the name of Jesus. And we pray that you will heal them, Father. Father, and we want to proclaim this morning, you are the healer. You are the healer. And Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that they will experience you, not just in their physical bodies, but in their emotions and in their minds. And Father, I pray over them that every single one of them will choose to believe your word. Will choose to believe your word. And Father, we thank you that you are so faithful. And Father, we will keep on declaring that you are our healer. Even in the greatest resistance, Father, even in the face of so many lies, we will keep on proclaiming that you are the healer. You are our portion. And this morning we worship you for healing. And I just want you to, where you are standing, just thank God that He is your healer. Just thank Him for it. God, we thank you that you are the healer. Father, I want to thank you this morning. I just feel this is a word for some of us here. Don't think so much about why you have pain and how does it work and where does it come from. I feel God says, just be still and know that I am God and that I am great and that I want to bless you and I want to heal you. Just receive it. Father, we ask for testimonies of healing. More and more and more testimonies of healing in our midst. In the name of Jesus. And while these people are just standing here, I want to ask if there is anybody here who does not know this God that we are preaching about. I don't have to say much. You will know if it is you. There's something in your heart that is just crying out. There's something in your heart that says, there must be more than this. This is it. We know what the more is. We experience it. Most of us that are here. And if that is you, if you experience this morning that I do not know. I do not know this God. I do not have a personal relationship with Him where I can experience Him. I want to invite you to come to the front right now. We want to introduce you to Him. If there is anybody like that,
well, ek het nou al seker vir jaar, 2 jaar het ek gapie tussen my 2 tande gehad wat net konstant gepyn het deur studies en goed, sukkel om te konsentreer en dis weg. Hy is nou weg. Presiere.
Ek wil net vra, as daar enig iemand vir wie ons hier vanoggend gebid het, wat dadelik genesing beleef het, dat jy met ons dit sal kom deel? Enig iemand wat nou dadelik gevoel het, die Heer het jou dadelik aangeraak, baie van die genesings vind oor tyd plaas, party gebeur onmiddellik. Kom deel dit met ons asseblief.
If there's anybody like that, please just come and share it with Mac. I want to extend that invitation again. If you want to have a relationship with him, you don't know him, please come to the front right now. And then there's a last invitation. If you are here this morning and you sense that you have drifted away from the Lord, you know, whenever we drift away, it is not because of him, it is because of us. And it mostly is because of condemnation. And the Word of God says, there's no condemnation for those who walk according to the Spirit. If there's anybody here who just has a need to just make that commitment to the Lord again, God, I want to follow you. I want to serve you. I want to take my life as it is right now and just give it back to you again. If there's anybody with a desire like that, won't you quickly come to the front? We want to pray with you as well. Anybody like that right now? You just want to say to God once again, God, I do want to give my life back to you. Anybody like that? We are going to end with another song. And if you want prayer other than what we have prayed for now, if you want to make use of any of those invitations, Mac and I will be in the front, some of the ministry facilitators. Church is a place where we expose ourselves and then we feel better afterwards, because when something is in the light, the darkness has no power over it anymore. So if you want to come for prayer, you are so welcome. Just end with a song and worshiping God before we go and have coffee.